Blog Talk Radio. Medical services are important when you need them. A traffic collision is one of these times. Medical bills can grow rapidly into payments higher than most mortgages. Wages and monthly income can dry up faster than the desert. And what can send these costs skyrocketing? Yes, a car accident. What happens when ending up being out of work longer than affordable? Income decreases due to lost wages. Typically, most benefits do not cover 100% of these losses. Unfortunately, monthly bills are not adjustable either, and now more dollars are going out than coming in, which means more stress, less options, and difficult decisions to make. Would COBRA, Obamacare, or Medicare allow an injured person to keep more money in their pocket as well as providing adequate and quality medical services? Which one offers the best security of holding on to your policy when loss of job occurs and or benefits are denied? Cost often plays a major role in this decision for most injured people or not. Join me, Esther, today for a discussion on COBRA, Obamacare, Medicare, and U's. At some point in life, most people will end up in one of these policies. Do you know what to expect? What is most beneficial? Let's discover the information most important to allow decision-making on your behalf by an evaluation of each of these coverages. Insightful experiences can be invaluable while processing auto insurance claims. The journey begins at the scene of a car accident and ends at the time of claim closure. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, LifeWise Assurance Company, Social Security, and employer SNC-Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. Join me, Estra, in the conversation today by dialing 718-766-4385 to share your comments. Again, that number is 718-766-4385. Thank you for being a part of today's show this February 15th, 2014. Also, 214 Car Accident Weekly Planners are currently available. Stop by any time during the year if involved in a car accident to pick one up. Having both my book, Car Accident by Estra, and 214 Car Accident Weekly Planner makes organizing, documenting, and information retrieval easier. Stop by eBay under Estra's Car Accident Help and or my official car accident site for more information. Spend time reading, watching, or listening for valuable accident wisdom, knowledge, and support. Today we'll spend our time talking about using COBRA when employer-paid benefits run out, when signing up for Obamacare is beneficial, understanding the rewards and risks of using Medicare, choosing medical care that brings healing, less stress, and less financial burden, and keeping your family together on the same policy. From my perspective, COBRA is one of the few benefits that most people don't think they'll use. In many cases, one is not ready to be sick or injured for any length of time. People typically expect a short-term problem that soon resolves itself. But what if it doesn't, and what if it's you? Someone else has taken over your job, not because you or your employer wanted it this way, but circumstances prevail. So what are your options? Before Obamacare, there was only COBRA. One of the most expensive benefit packages around, in my opinion. How many employees do you know who are able to afford the same amount of employer benefits at the same cost? In other words, could you afford to actually pay out the amount that an employer pays for your benefits? For most injured, this is definitely a rock and a hard place. First of all, by this time, many have gone through their sick leave and any other benefits available, including most of their savings, and that's if they had any in the first place. Yes, this can be a very dark moment on the journey, but no time to waste. One must figure out how one is going to survive going forward. Most injured need medical coverage and cannot receive the help needed without it. So many bite the bullet, and indeed it's a big one, when you chew off signing up for COBRA. And if your family is on the policy, this may be a world of hurt. Therefore, when evaluating this as an option, make sure to evaluate any alternatives. In my opinion, it's like being penalized for becoming injured. Hopefully, in the future, we have a way to remove such a heavy burden on sick or injured people. It's a weight, in my opinion, that's unnecessary and adds tremendously to the financial suffering of people signing up for it. Eventually, in most cases, the injured will run out of money using this benefit, and from my perspective, be worse off than they were initially, because most used up the few resources they had attempting to hold on to. And basically, most of the time, they end up losing this benefit in the long run, because they most cannot afford it. Perhaps there is some hope for a few who received COBRA before May 31st, 2010, from the COBRA Premium Reduction Program. Now, why they chose to cut it off this day, I don't understand. But if you paid exorbitant premiums prior to this day, I certainly would look into a refund if at all possible. You can find more information on the Department of Labor's website under COBRA Continuation Coverage. And I just want to quote a little bit from that here. It said, quote, "The United States Department of Labor Program for the Review of Denials," what is it? "The Review of Denials of COBRA Premium Reduction under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act," which is ARRA, "has ended. The COBRA premium reduction was available for individuals who experienced involuntary terminations on or before May 31st, 2010. The COBRA premium reduction under ARRA is not available for individuals who experienced involuntary terminations after May 31st, 2010. Why that is, I don't know. This is me talking. Therefore, the eligibility period for the subsidy has passed. For anyone with extenuating circumstances who believes they may be eligible for the premium reduction, it says contact the Department's Employee Benefit Security Administration. And it gives the link and the phone number, which is 866-444-3272. That number again is 866-444-3272. And the website is askebsa.dol.gov, end quote. If currently enrolled in COBRA, a better alternative may be Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act. Most sick or injured typically are paying out a great deal of income or benefits to receive their health benefits, which, prospectively speaking, doesn't leave much for daily living. Therefore, anything that can be done to reduce the expenditure typically improves the quality of life when hurt in a car accident. So when an employer presents you with a job exit option, make sure to explore alternatives carefully and the impact not only at this time, but the impact on future income and experiences. Here's a small bit of information on employer benefit plans. And it comes to us from the Department of Labor, and it was actually worked on by the Department of Actuarial Research Corporation. and their contract number is DOLB10933099. So in case you didn't know, companies have to fill out a form. It's 5500, and I'll read it to you here. Quote, the form 5500 data shows that approximately 49,000 health plans filed a form 5500 for 2010, a decrease of more than 3% from the approximately 50,000 health plans. Of health plans filing the 2010 5500 form, about 19,800 were self-insured. Okay, so that means that there's a lot of self-insured employers out there. And approximately 4,000 mixed self-insurance with insurance. Mixed insurance means it's part self-insured and part insurance as the average person would pay it. Self-insured plans cover approximately 30 million participants in 2010 and held assets totaling $58 billion. You hear that? It says self-insured plans covered approximately how many? 30 million participants, right? In 2010 and held assets totaling $58 billion. So when they deny, delay, and refuse to pay out your benefits, you might want to think, and they say they have no money, don't believe. In my opinion, I wouldn't believe it. Okay, so let me go on here. Quote, in 2010, there were approximately 26 million participants covered by mixed insured group health plans, and these mixed insured group health plans held more than $136 billion in assets. Let me repeat that, $136 billion in assets, okay? So they have a lot of money, okay? The total, there's a table actually if you want to go out and take a look at the two. I won't talk about the statistics in it here. The table shows an aggregate statistic of self-insured and mixed insured health plans filing forms 5500. So let me stop here for just a moment. If you're in a group plan and you want to go out and see what your company says, go out and do a research for that form 5500 for your company and see what you can pull up. Okay, I'm going to go back in. Sponsors of self-insured plans generally bear the risk associated with paying their plans covered health expenses. Okay, I need to stop here. Not only, though, are they responsible for the risk, but they also get what? The rewards from actually insuring you. So if you are paying your employer also benefits, and you don't use it, you don't go to the doctor, you have a great year, which is wonderful because we don't want everybody to be injured at the same time. But they actually benefit from keeping that and insuring themselves rather than giving it to an insurance company. Okay, I'm going to go back on here. It says, in contrast, sponsors of fully insured plans generally pay premiums to insurers and transfer all the risk to them. In other words, that's how the average person does with car insurance. They actually give their money to the auto insurance company, and the insurance company assumes the risk of you hopefully being safe and not getting injured. But if you do, they actually have to pay out on your policy. But they also, if nothing happens and you have a great year or you have a great decade, they get to keep those premiums. Okay, let me go on. Some sponsors retain the risk for a subset of benefits, but transfer the risk for the remaining benefits to the health insurers. That is, they finance their benefit plans using a mixture of self-insurance and insurance. So depending on probably the size of the company that you work for, they're interested in retaining more of the money than giving it out. If they want to control, you know, how much of what they allow in and what they don't, you know, you have to actually go on and check and see. And some of that information you can find, okay, when you look at your policy. So make sure that you review it and really look at those fine prints, because those are the ones that bite you every time. They're put there for a reason, and it's usually, in my opinion, not because of the person who will be injured. Let me go on. It says self-insured group health plans that finance benefits via trust report approximately $58 billion in assets and $10 billion in liabilities. So if you have a $58 billion in assets here and you have $10 billion in liabilities, that means your actual balance looks pretty good. So when people are saying, we don't have anything to pay out your claim, you might want to take a look at their bottom line. go on here. Mixed Insurance Group health plans that finance benefits via trust reported approximately $136 billion in assets and $16 billion in liabilities. And that's even a wider balance of assets of $136 billion to liabilities, which are $16 billion. So how many claims are denied and delayed? The assets to pay, in my opinion, are there for the injured. So Congress, please get on your job and do something about it so that so many people are not being denied when the resources are available. From my perspective, the reason we have Obamacare is due to a large number of people without health care. This became a benefit most could afford without a job, which kept sick people trapped in positions in order to obtain required health care. Who benefits from such an arrangement? Some mazes are designed, in my opinion, to keep the status quo. Fortunately, in health care, people do have more options than COBRA, going without it or having it tied to employment. And this is so important. And this is why, personally, I am glad that we now have the Affordable Care Act. I'd like to quote information regarding the reasons for the creations of the Affordable Health Care Act, which is, to me, Obamacare, from the WhiteHouse.gov website under Healthcare Overview Consumer Rights. Quote, on March 23, 2010, President Obama signed the Affordable Care Act into law, putting in place comprehensive reforms that improve access to affordable health care for everyone and protect consumers from abusive insurance company practices. I'm going to repeat that because that to me is very important. It says, the reason why it was put into place was to make it more affordable and to protect consumers from abusive insurance company practices. Okay. Now, if Congress does a little bit more to this, to what he's added, perhaps more people will be able to get the things that they need. I'm going to go on, quote, for those Americans who already have health insurance, the only changes you will see under law are new benefits, better protections from insurance company abuses, and more value for every dollar you spend on health care. So, and this is another, this next line, I just have to make a few comments on here. It says, if you don't like your plan, you can keep it and you don't have to change a thing due to the health care law, okay? And there's been a lot of media coverage regarding this statement, but how many people do you know that want to keep a poor insurance plan? Okay, I would have to ask this. When you're sick, it leaves you out in the cold on your own, and in my opinion, this is like self-destruction is a valid and valuable option rather than finding a productive outcome. Really? Make sure to get the facts before moving down this road. Today in society, we have the internet, which provides more information about what is really happening from multiple point of views. Educating ourselves will improve our ability to make better decisions and place people in office who are more concerned with constituents than lobbyists, okay? I need to say that again. We need people in office who are more concerned with just the average citizen than the lobbyists or the 1% who have decided that they're going to make this perhaps their world. Not all 1%ers don't look out for the best interest of the average person. I think there are some. Thank goodness there are. But unfortunately, in today's society, we're running into some seriously harsh problems. And in my opinion, the only way in which this is going to change is if you get up and vote in 2014. Vote for people who you look back in the last few years and say, oh, these people really helped our community. These people really put the things in place that made my family be able to move or my neighbor, or it helped us. But when people just constantly say, no, we're not going to do this, we're just going to let all the people's unemployment expire. We don't care that they're going to lose their homes, their houses. We don't really care about what happens to them, but we care about the 1% that comes knocking on our door. Those are not the people we need to be able to help us through these hard times. We need people who will open up our society again. Not all the monopolies that we have are going to help us to create a better society. You know, we We really need to start looking out for each other and deciding that it is our responsibility to get out and vote and do the things that help us to make society better. Whew. Okay, I'll get back on where I need to go here. Okay, the Affordable Care Act took effect in October 1st, 2013. And here's some of the key facts about the Affordable Care Act. As I just talked about, the stronger consumer rights and protections, and we need them not just in our health care, we need it in a lot of the major sectors now. The coverage is more affordable. It says private insurers that provide coverage for nearly how many people? 174 million Americans must now justify double-digit premium increases, right? Nope, they were just doing what they wanted then. Let's just raise this. We don't care. What are they going to do? Not take it? So we needed some consumer protection rights in there. And nearly 76 million Americans are covered by insurers that are now required to spend how much? At least 80% of the premium dollars on health care. Let me repeat that. At least 80% of the premium care or dollars on health care. We need to do this with ERISA. Why would companies be able to actually send out 20% at most and keep 80%? Congress, are you listening? You're hurting us by your choices on ERISA, in my opinion. It needs to change. Why should companies not have to pay out on benefits when we as employees are paying on the premiums? And why, more importantly, would you allow that to be that way? ERISA needs to be reformed right now, Congress. Are you going to be the do-nothing Congress for the rest of the year? And do you think in 2014 people are not going to be paying attention? Do you think distractions about talking about certain political things are pushing it over on talking about other people like Bill Clinton's past or Chris Christie's behavior? Do you really think that's what we want to hear? What we want to hear is that you will help us, that you will actually do what you want Congress to do. Work. You want us to work every day. So if you want us to work every day, why shouldn't you? Okay, I'm going to go on because I really have a lot to say on that. Okay, key facts for the Affordable Care Act are stronger consumer protection rights, make it more affordable, better access for all Americans. In my opinion, it is still a shame that all Americans don't have health care. In one of the richest countries in the world, if we stop giving it away, and under the table in many cases, in my opinion, we'd be able to see that happen. Okay, so there's 54 million Americans now that can receive preventive care services that they didn't, such as cancer screenings. And that's, to me, a whole nother issue when they're telling us, this is just a side note, that more 57% increase in cancer in the next decade, what is that about? I say, personally, I would be checking my food. What are they feeding me? Why all of a sudden do we have to split out organic and whatever else you've got us eating over here? Okay, why aren't there the labels on our food? Why don't you say you put this, that, and the other in there? Why is it uncomfortable for you now to tell us what you're trying to feed us? And then, what is the issue with people not regulating what they're feeding us, okay? We really need people who are really interested in consumer rights and protection. Somehow that's really slipped up, and we really need to get it back, not just in healthcare, but in many of our sectors. Okay, let me go on. I have a lot to say about a lot of things today. So, also, the Affordable Care Act created the Patient's Bill of Rights. So when you're going to the doctor and you say, okay, I really want to know what's going on, when you leave that doctor's office, too, you should be able to get a piece of paper that says, okay, this is what you came in for, this is what I've recommended, this is what we're treating you for, in particular because sick people forget. You know, some people can retain information for longer than others, but if it's there in writing, you can go back over that and look at next week or that next month, or just keep it together so that you can actually see the progress you're making or remember questions that you perhaps you want to ask about. out. The good news is enrollment in the health insurance marketplace, which is Obamacare, increased by 53% in January. Isn't it time to put health care back in the hands of patients and away from insurance companies? What does this number tell you? I mean, they're actually, you know, have a lot to say about that, and that'll be great. I'm gonna quote something that Secretary Sabella said instead of giving my opinion. It says, quote, "These are encouraging trends that show that more Americans are enrolling every day and finding quality, affordable coverage in the marketplace," Secretary Sabella said. "There is plenty of time for you and your family to sign up in a private plan of your choice. So visit healthcare.gov to learn more and sign up. Open enrollment ends March 31st. So I would recommend, if you're not actually enrolled and you're looking for something, you might want to evaluate this as a viable option for you. The key findings in the report that Secretary Sabella was talking about is that nearly 3.3 million people selected the Marketplace plan from October 1st, 2013 through February 1st, 2014, including 1.4 million in the state-based Marketplace and 1.9 million in the federally facilitated Marketplace. And it also says, it gives a little bit more detail, it says 55% are female and 45% are male, 31% are age 34 and under, 25% are between the ages of 18 and 34, 62% selected a silver plan, while 19% selected a bronze plan. So it's telling you that people are actually getting up and looking. It says 82% selected a plan and are eligible for financial assistance, up to 79% during October 1st through December 2013, the reporting said. So you can actually go out and take a look at that and read the details. You know, this is Americans taking action to improve their health when they're given the opportunity. Just imagine what could be accomplished if the many monopolies currently holding our company or our country back were removed. If a Bill of Rights for customers for telecommunication companies, maybe that's next. Is Comcast large enough? How would purchasing Time Warner help you? Are these companies mini NSA organizations? Where are they actually leading us? And more importantly, are you really paying attention? The new Affordable Care Act laws put consumers back in charge of their health care. Under the law, a new patient bill of rights gives the American people the stability and flexibility they need to make informed choices about their health. Perhaps it is time for this to occur in other major sectors of our society. What do you think? First, I'd like to make sure we're on the same page by quoting each portion of the Medicare as defined by the SSA.gov webpage. Quote, Medicare in the United States government health insurance program for people ages 65 or older. Some people under the age of 65 can qualify for Medicare too. These include those with disabilities, permanent kidney failure, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Medicare helps with the cost of health care. It does not cover all medical expenses or the cost of long-term care. Let me repeat that because I think some people were in the impression that it does. It says it does not cover all medical expenses or the cost of long-term care, which means that you have to have either something saved or be a part of another insurance program. It says Social Security, or actually Medicare, has four parts. It has Part A, which is a hospital insurance, Part B, which helps pay for medical services that Part A doesn't cover. Part C is called Medicare Advantage. If you have Part A and Part B, you can choose this option to receive all of your health care through a provider organization like an HMO. And Part D is prescription drug coverage, and it helps to pay for some medicine. So when you look at this, it's not supposed to be something that protects you in all circumstances. It's a program designed to help you from not falling out from the bottom. In other words, to give you some kind of medical stability if something goes wrong. Let me go on here. It says, Okay, it says Medicare has been successful, or this is at least my opinion. Medicare has been a successful program for many enrolled in Social Security disability after a car accident. Most require a visit to the doctor, yet some don't. From my perspective, the savings this program is seeking is happening due to Obamacare's enforcing accountability practices that better track the cost and use. Many of the costs concerns, from my perspective, are not coming from the injured, but the system structure. Perspectively speaking, it's nice to see someone not blaming the victim. Yet, in my opinion, one still needs to consider the risk and rewards of using Medicare versus Obamacare. For example, the Social Security Administration regularly reviews disability cases, and unfortunately, not all offices' quality of work is the same. Therefore, many people have lost Medicare and have had to go without. The loss of benefits and medical care can be catastrophic for the injured. So can you really trust this as an option to be there? What about Congress Republicans attempting to place money in Wall Street, instead of with the 99%? And will the remaining senators and representatives stand up for fair and equitable treatment of Social Security recipients? Well, here's another quote from the White House, whitehouse.gov website. It says, nearly 50 million older Americans and Americans with disabilities rely on Medicare each year. And it says that the new health care law makes Medicare stronger. It says, by adding new benefits, fighting fraud, and improving care for patients. It says the life of the Medicare Trust Fund will be extended to at least 2024 as a result of reducing waste, fraud, and abuse, and slowing cost growth in Medicare. And over the next 10 years, the law will save the average person in Medicare $4,200. People with Medicare who have the prescription drug costs that hit the so-called donut hole will save an average of over $16,000. In the past, as many as 1 in 4 seniors went without a prescription every year because they couldn't afford it. To help these seniors, the law provides relief for people in the donut hole, which is one of the highest prescription drug costs. So that's the things that we need to be doing, is helping each other. The next thing it mentions is fighting fraud. It says the healthcare law helps stop fraud with tougher screening procedures, stronger penalties, and technologies. Thanks in part to these efforts, we've recovered how much? $4.1 billion in taxpayer dollars in 2011. So when you see that they're always trying to project this onto the poor, who usually aren't doing anything but trying to survive, and who've been injured or sick and need help, think about it. Think about who really gets the money. Would they be poor if they had the money? I don't think they would. Would they be asking for help if they didn't need it? I don't think most would. And I hope that you'll consider the source and think about when people are pointing their fingers at people who have no way or very little means to protect themselves. If we are not the protectors of them, who will be? We need to be able to look at things and not just for face value. We need to be able to say, why is this coming out now? Who benefits from talking about it in this manner? And more importantly, is it really what's going on behind the scenes? Okay, it says improving care, coordination, and quality. And it says, through the newly established Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, this administration is testing in support of innovative new healthcare models that can reduce costs and strengthen quality of healthcare. And in my opinion, I have to stop here, in my opinion, that's what we need to do in many sectors. It is not just our healthcare that actually needs this. It is a lot of sectors so that we can get back to helping the people, not the corporations. And people, in my opinion, and corporations are not the same. But that's a whole nother story. The burden of being injured or sick again is no small matter, especially when adding daily trials, tribulations, and in most cases, lack of resources. Yet, from my perspective, the important thing to do is all that you can. Becoming discouraged defeats your purpose in getting better and putting life back on track. One must consider the overall picture in recovery, and not only you have the authority to set the path, it is your responsibility. It will be your determination and will that in the end will get you where you want to go. However, Medicare is very important in being able to get there. If you don't have medical care, it's a very, and you're sick, it's very difficult to try to find your way. And it makes, that means it's very important to have. I'm sure there will be many obstacles to overcome, stressful situations that must be placed in check. However, taking those small steps, refusing to give up, accepting setbacks and forward moves as part of the process will help get you there. Take time and review all options. This is your choice. Make it work for you. Perfection is rarely found, but a workable solution can be. Also, do not be hindered by harassers visiting your physicians or anyone else assisting you on your journey. Let their agony be with them. You stay your course of becoming better and restoring life in ways that make your day a personal success. Yet, keep those cameras rolling. Documentation of harassment and intimidation is very important. Depending on the size of your family, the cost of healthcare can grow exponentially. However, making sacrifices early may keep your policy and family intact. It may be the best hope in preventing a calamity that could send the entire family into bankruptcy. Many sick and injured families have struggled with medical bills, and some have gone under. Bankruptcy is not the end of the world, although quite painful for many. The key is to protect yourself and family by providing yourself by being your best advocates. Remember, in order for life to go on, you must be a participant, and anything else within the journey can be overcome. Decide never to give up or give in to the troubles frequently presented. I'm going to do this last quote from the Health and Human Services, the Department of Labor, and also report it, and the report is done by the RAND Corporation. Quote, "The burden of chronic disease is growing in the United States as rising rates of obesity and physical inactivity are leading to more diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Particularly worrisome is the onset of chronic conditions such as obesity and hypertension is shifting to younger age cohorts who are still participating in the labor market. This shift increases the economic burden of chronic disease as illness-related loss of productivity is added to the cost of medical care. To counter this trend, employers are adopting health promotions and disease prevention strategies, taking advantage of their access to employees at an age where intervention directed at healthy behaviors can still change the trajectory of employees' long-term health. These strategies range from changes to the work environment, such as providing healthy food options in the cafeteria, to comprehensive intervention that support employees in adopting and sustaining healthy lifestyles," end quote. I just want to say, do all you can after sickness or injury to enjoy life. You will be more active and help to retain physical fitness. Yet harassers will attempt to prevent you from living life, but remember, it belongs to you, and every moment is precious and can bring more strength and courage to the battle you're already fighting. So stay focused and continue to grow in ways that make life interesting. Yes, you still do have a life, injured or not. I wanted to extend a special thank you to Audacity, InternetArchives.org, and to musicians which will actually be soon featured on my blog. I appreciate their work. They make this such a more interesting show. Also, make sure to go out and take the Accident Auto Settlement Survey. It's ready for you. You can find it on my Facebook, Talking About You with Estra, along with Estra's radio show. Look for the hashtag Estra's Accident Surveys. Let's meet back here next Saturday, same time, same place. Remember the new time of 1:30 p.m. And remember, no matter what you are going through, keep your head up and never give up. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra and Estra TV is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed Estra's radio show and TV, blog, and book club to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168, or email sunlightpublishing@gmail.com. Thank you.